Yes, we're now starting book Little K, lowercase k, December 30th, 1974. Goes out to June of 1975. The beginning of this book is still continuing to work on different gel procedures. With a view, I recollect to being able to sequence radioactive material available only in small quantities. So the first recognizable result is on pages two and three, where comparing a separation on an acrylamide gel, polyacrylamide gel that Byron Ballou had made, with the separation in a starch gel of various iodinated preparations of beta 2 macroglobulin, and the gel staining is there, and the autoradiograph quite clearly demonstrated. And this is followed on Monday, December 30th, page 4 and 5, by an experiment in which Byron had C14 labelled mouse cells and ran on his gel with polyacrylamide, an autoradiograph obtained. Beginning to test having anti beta 2 microglobulin on cephalos beads on the following page, Thursday, January 2nd, 1975, exclamation mark, with some gels again, looking in this case with a gel that became later a great favorite, a chloral hydrate gel, aluminum lactate chloral hydrate gel, which Byron had developed and which we published on at some time. The separations really were quite remarkably nice on page 12. Two gels. One better than the other, but both are very good. And the autoradiograph looks so fine. Continuing then to look at the starch gels on the next page, with in this case just beta 2M labeled. Antibody bead experiment repeated on page 17, usual way of repeating things many times. Different, slightly variable gels, horizontal versus vertical chloral hydrate gel, of which the vertical one looks considerably nicer. Specificity of the beads which are being tested, page 19, and bead capacity test on the page 23, and so forth. Column elution was looked at on page 24 and 25 with a comment that this is the supernatant and the beads and the eluates from the beads, two gels, with a comment that it's clear that the beads have a tremendous capacity and increase in specificity as expected as the volume decreases. No limits seen in these tests, so we were quite encouraged. And going on in the same vein, compared Byron's 14C experiments with the GM17 and GM17 in pea, 60 dishes in roll-ups, bottles, different experiments. Bulk preparation of these samples on page 29, January 24th, and continue in this general way for the labeling beta 2 microglobulin in bulk. In this case, with 3 times 50 microcuries of a C14 label. This was material that was being given to Dave McCain for his radioactive sequencing. And with a comment on page 30 that about 11,000 counts per minute total, enough only for one day run on the sequinator. So we were using the sequinator to do radioactive sequencing. And continuing in the same vein with more column on January 30th, and repeat of absorption on February 3rd, columns on February 5th and so forth, all continuing the same general pattern. On February 5th, Wednesday, I decided to label 200 microcuries of S35 methionine per dish and test each cultured strain from Kutchalapati. Now, what has Kutchalapati got to do with this? Well, that isn't immediately clear from the notebook, but it is clear if we look at the paper that eventually came out in 1976, which was the first publication I had with Raju Kutchalapati, and was in fact the beginning of a long and enjoyable collaboration that extended to the time of gene targeting. So in 1976, so later in the book, but this is the prelude to this work, Raju and all the others of it assigned the gene for beta 2 microglobulin to human chromosome 15, and this was done by taking hybrid cell lines with different chromosomes in them that Raju had developed in Frank Ruddle's lab. Frank Ruddle was an author in the paper, of course, and then anti-beta 2 microglobulin serum was coupled to beads to make the immunoabsorbent that we've been seeing in the notebook, and parental and hybrid cells are grown in medium containing S35 methionine, etc., and the beads were eluted and the supernatant and the eluted material was looked at, and the gels were the chloral hydrate gels that are being used in this part of the notebook. So the chloral hydrate, the immunoabsorbent, and the ability of chloral hydrate gel to separate mouse from human beta 2M was used to assign the locus for beta 2 microglobulin to human chromosome 15. That was the best that could be done in those days, was to put it to a chromosome, not a specific locus on the chromosome. So here we're continuing this work in this book. Inhibition tests with triton extract on Friday, February 14th, with a note that this is Valentine's Day. Human mouse linkage absorption, page 17, 47. And continuing for the book progresses. Byron labelled cells with sustained methionine, S35. That's not quite correct. Labelled with S35 methionine. About 1500 microcuries, which they use a fair amount of lead. 1.5 millicuries. Rather spectacular set of images on page 62. Every page thereafter seems to have a label. Little return to nuclei isolation. Wednesday, April 16th, get the meiotic histone trials for Ed Sheldon. This was not one of my experiments, evidently. It was for to help someone else. All from meiosis divisions 1, 2, and tetrad mixture, etc. So, isolating nuclei. Unfortunately, thawed overnight. Going on in the next few pages with that experiment. Typical comments on the way. Suspension easy. Pellet was almost solid. And on Wednesday, April 23rd, page 77, following a paper that is of which a copy is attached by Hewish and Burgoyne, isolation of chromatin DNA at regularly spaced sites by a nuclear deoxyribonuclease. This was then on April 23rd, attempt to chromatin subunit isolation for use in attempting compositions and identities and separations for Liz Friedlander's experiment. What Liz was trying to do was follow histone segregation with chromosome, with DNA. So here we are, Thursday, April 24th, chromatin subunits continued. Different buffers for isolating the nuclei. Several pages of it. Here we are, page 97, still doing them. And then using the chlorohydrate aluminum lactate gel to test the histones on page 99. With a comment that Carolyn repeated the experiment, still poor, and therefore try in Byron's apparatus. Here's a different approach being considered on Monday, June the 2nd, glass beads / sequimat initial trial. That's a different type of sequinator. The aim to get high sensitivity cold sequencing working and plan tests, etc., in the regular sequinator, plus or minus carrier, and so on. Beta-2M looks suitable for both tests with 125 iodinated material. Can use lysine and cysteine coupling methods, etc. for sequimat. The sequimat had the protein coupled to beads, glass beads. So that was work being done for the following few pages again. 105, 107, 109, coupling to the glass. Comment on page 115 that Joe sequenced okay, done in parallel, but the sequence was very poor. Trying to use material that had been coupled and then cut at methionines with cyanide and bromide. On page 117. Check of glass. Without DITC, whatever DITC is, with a comment that of 108, about 180,000 counts per minute, and the results show the sequence is detectable even without coupling at low level. Repeat of electroperoxidase labeling with I-125. Page 123, different methods of, or different attempts to label. Sequinator experiment on 125, commented on. About 113,000 counts per minute for use in the sequencing. Sequimat on page 127. Sequimat procedure is specifically listed on page 128, check of the solvents, etc., etc., and my notes on how to use the machine. And Dave, this is an experiment that Dave McCain had developed, and there's a there's a reprint from Biochemical Journal, 1974, attached to page 130, was the use of radio-labeled T1 ribonuclease to monitor the efficiency of Edmund degradations with Dave McCain and George Smith, both of whom were my postdocs in the Laboratory of Genetics at the University of Wisconsin. So this was in February of 74, almost a year earlier than we are in the book. Well, almost 6 months earlier. Radio labeling going on. With the result on June 16th, saying that the autorads show that the crude beta-2M contains many labeled components in addition to beta-2M. Also a comment that the highly purified beta-2M from, for example, S3, page 39, K135i, shows very little impurities. So we were able to purify it, but not all preparations were pure. Dave McCain, sequencing on page 104. On page 140, sequenator run 1054. Yeah, with three peaks. Comment on page on this page 141 on the sequenator efficiency. It comments on the fact that alpha. First of all, the yield of T1 was 60.5%. Alpha was 94%, and beta about 2%. The terms alpha and beta correspond to the efficiency of a cleavage in the sequenator, 94% of an amino acid would appear at the correct position, but then beta was a correction factor for what was carried over to the next next cycle because it hadn't cleaved. So alpha and beta were parameters which I had developed with the help of Bob Goodflash in working out the programs for efficient sequencing with the recovering good results from the sequenator, even though the machine was not perfect. A note on page 147, DeMond's strain 7223. That's Bob DeMond, who was in the neighboring lab, and at a time when he and I were talking together, we had some later unfortunate disagreements. But at this point, this is a strain from him, and Brenda has some other strains. I don't, that's Brenda Kahn, had some others. These were different strains. Cell lines, I presume. So June 19th is a quite nice page, page 149. Sequinator runs 10.57, 10.55, and 10.58. Results confirm good sequence with C14 labeled T1 plus 1.3 milligrams of brown. It's alpha is 92%. Beta 2 to 2.5, yield at 2 was 44%, etc., etc. More beta 2 for sequencing as we get to the end of this book, which at the end of the book has, the last page has a chloral hydrate, has an attached type written. Instructions for the chloral hydrate gel system. The following systems have proved useful for separations of membrane proteins. So one is an aluminum lactate gel mixture, etc., an ammonium formate gel as well. And two pages of instructions, end book K.